advancing human activity recognition with quaternion-based recurrent neural networks. Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Alex Jonassy. The year was 1843, and William Rowan Hamilton had a problem. He had already tamed the complexities of complex numbers, which could describe motion and transformations in two dimensions. But what about the third dimension? He longed for a similar system that could handle three-dimensional space, and he wrestled with it for years, trying in vain to extend the rules of numbers into higher dimensions. The breakthrough came while he was out on a walk along Dublin's Royal Canal. Legend has it he carved the equation I squared equals J squared equals K squared equals IJK equals negative 1, right into the stone of the Broom Bridge. And voila, quaternions were born, a new kind of number that could represent rotations in three-dimensional space, opening the door to modern geometry, physics, and eventually, computer graphics. This was an entirely new kind of number built from four parts, one real component and three separate imaginary components. By comparison, complex numbers, you'll remember, have one real and one imaginary part. In quaternions, each of the three imaginary directions, traditionally called I, J, and K, behaves a bit like an axis in three-dimensional space. The clever twist is that when you multiply these directions together, the order matters. Multiplying I by J gives you K, but multiplying J by I gives you negative K. This property, called non-commutativity, was shocking at the time because it broke the usual rule that numbers can be multiplied in any order. Yet that asymmetry is exactly what makes quaternions so powerful. It encodes the handedness of three-dimensional rotations. Instead of getting lost in the trigonometry of angles and matrices, you can represent a rotation as a single quaternion and apply it cleanly to vectors in space. Fast forward two centuries, and quaternions have now become a fundamental tool in describing motion, in spacecraft, in video games, and in the case of today's paper, fitness tracking. You see, the same algebra that guides rockets and animates virtual worlds is now being used to interpret the movements of people wearing accelerometer-equipped devices. By framing sensor readings as quaternions rather than disconnected axes, the authors show human activity can be recognized more accurately and efficiently, turning messy, raw data into a structured account of what the body is actually doing. On today's episode, we'll dive into what the researchers built, how they built it, and how well it works. But first, let's talk about why human activity recognition, HAR, is a challenging problem at all, and why traditional methods fall short. The basic idea of HAR is simple. Use sensors, usually accelerometers or gyroscopes, embedded in smartphones, smartwatches, or other wearable devices to automatically detect what a person is doing. But here's the problem. When you're walking, the accelerometer doesn't just pick up forward motion. It captures the subtle side-to-side sway, the up-and-down bounce with each step, and the complex rotational movements as your body shifts its weight. This creates enormous sequences of multidimensional data that change over time. Traditional machine learning approaches often struggle with this because they either flatten the multidimensional data, losing important spatial relationships, process each dimension independently, missing the correlations between X, Y, and Z movements, or have trouble capturing the temporal dependencies, how your movement patterns evolve over time. But not for lack of trying. Many types of models have been thrown at this problem already. Unfortunately, none of them got it quite right. Convolutional neural networks, CNNs, are great at spatial patterns but can miss temporal sequences. Recurrent neural networks, RNNs, handle sequences but can struggle with the vanishing gradient problem if the sequences are too long. Long short-term memory, LSTM, networks help with the gradient problem but can be computationally expensive and don't naturally handle multidimensional data that well. This is where quaternions come in. They can naturally represent rotations in 3D space without suffering from a gimbal lock, a problem where you lose a degree of freedom in certain orientations. This is perfect for HAR. When you walk, jog, or climb stairs, your body is essentially performing complex rotations and translations. Quaternion-based networks can process all three axes as a unified 3D orientation, preserving the relationships between the dimensions. The system they built in this paper is called a quaternion-based recurrent neural network, QRNN. Here's how they did it. They started with accelerometer data from 36 participants doing 6 different activities: walking, jogging, sitting, standing, going upstairs, and going downstairs. The raw data was sampled at 20 hertz, but for modeling, they segmented it into fixed-size windows of 2.5 seconds at an effective 50 hertz rate, giving 128 data points per window with 50% overlap. Instead of treating the X, Y, and Z accelerometer readings as 3 separate values, they combined into a quaternion format. Their network then uses quaternion-based weight matrices and performs quaternion multiplication operations. This allows the network to learn the intrinsic relationships between the different spatial dimensions while maintaining temporal memory through the recurrent structure. In other words, the imaginary components are no longer free-floating channels, but are locked together through non-commutative multiplication rules, which means the learned weights must capture spatial correlations directly. This reduces redundancy in the parameter space, discourages the network from treating each axis independently, and encodes orientation in a way that remains stable across time steps. The beauty of this approach is that it naturally preserves the multidimensional structure of the data while still being able to capture temporal patterns through the recurrent connections. So that's how it works. The question is, how well does it work? To find out, the authors benchmarked it on the Wisdom dataset, a standard benchmark for HAR. In the end, the QRNN achieved 98% training accuracy, but only 85% test accuracy. This indicates decent and promising performance, but perhaps a bit of overfitting. To put that in perspective, on the test sets, traditional CNNs achieved 92% accuracy. Standard RNNs got 90%. LSTMs reached 97%. Visual transformers reached 85%. And the VT Plus CNN saw 92%. But to be fair, accuracy isn't the only metric that matters. The QRNN showed significant improvements in computational efficiency. Training speed was 20% faster than standard RNNs, and latency was lower. The system also achieved about a 10% reduction in error rate compared to RNNs when dealing with noisy data. So, while it's not the outright most accurate approach, the QRNN might be particularly suitable for real-time applications on wearable or IoT devices, places where computational efficiency and footprint really matter. That being said, quaternion operations do add computational overhead compared to simple, real-valued operations. And there's a learning curve for practitioners unfamiliar with quaternion mathematics. The model also needs to be tested across more diverse datasets and real-world scenarios to ensure it generalizes well. But the core idea seems fairly sound. When you're dealing with multidimensional sequential data that has natural spatial structure, quaternion-based neural networks offer a way to preserve that structure while still leveraging the temporal modeling capabilities of recurrent networks. As wearable technology continues to evolve and become more sophisticated, having better mathematical tools for understanding human movement will become increasingly important. While this isn't necessarily the best option right now, it might be laying the groundwork for more robust, less overfit solutions down the road. If you're interested in diving deeper into quaternion multiplication, the specific network architecture, or the complete experimental results across all the different activity types, I'd highly recommend downloading the full paper. The authors do a thorough job of explaining both the theoretical foundations and the practical implementation steps. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. This episode was performed by myself, Alex Jonassy. It was written by Malcolm Diggs and produced by Luis Lopez. Hope you enjoyed it. That's all for now. I'll see you next time.